Jerry Vader Show, 10:07-ish. The Allman Brothers. Lord, I was born a ramblin' man. That's longer than the title, but what a great tune. Jason has tapped into a really good vein for the classic cuts that he plays 10:06 each and every day. Just a, you always do a good job, but it's just a apropos tunes. I, of course, have rambled down to Milwaukee for the state convention. Want to remind you again, we'll be doing videos this afternoon. Show wraps up at 11. Folks start pouring in probably about 1 o'clock. And I want to thank the Republican Party of Wisconsin. They have been exceedingly accommodating in helping me out. They helped me set up where people are registering. Rachel Edwards, my videographer, will be there. And she will be video recording me interviewing. We have Ron Johnson at 1 o'clock. And these will be posted at the Jerry Bader Show Hub at jerrybadershow.com. A liberal listener asks, what's the vote going to be on these idiotic resolutions? Overwhelmingly defeated. 80-20, 90-10. Because that's about the margin of the party that indulges in this stuff. But the and that he actually is holding off these hopes that it's going to be close, that's a product of the media. They're making it sound like this is mainstream. And not everybody follows these things as closely as I do, or even conservative talk listeners such as you do. They don't. Oh, wow, that's, boy, the party's really gone off the rails. No, it hasn't. This stuff's going to be overwhelmingly defeated. Just like whack job resolutions brought forth by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin delegates in the past. But the media doesn't report on those. So, yeah, I can rip the media, that's fine. But that's like ripping a duck for quacking. You know they're going to do that. You know Dan Bice is going to make a big deal out of this. You know the rest of the mainstream media in Wisconsin is going to try to present these things as mainstream. You know that. Now, as I wrote recently, if the Republican Party of Wisconsin is going to be that big tent, that's fine. And if you're going to let this fringe element stay under the tent, that's fine. But you have to make sure that it is realized that they're the fringe on the edge of the tent. Yeah, and they are, and that's going to be the case. Now, I think the party has generally done a very good job, those who are organizing this event, to try to stay on topic. And the topic is that, you know what? We welcome liberals asking, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Wisconsin is better off. Most Wisconsinites are. I accept that many public employees have seen their income go down. I accept that. I understand that. It was necessary. They have an oversized influence with the Democratic movement and the Democratic Party. Oh, everybody is miserably unhappy. No, really? They're not. They're not. Has the economy grown in Wisconsin as fast as we would like? No. Has it grown nationally? Barely. Unemployment continues to go down, still below the national rate. I still say that the uncertainty of Obamacare is hurting nationally, and the damage, it wasn't Scott Walker, the damage liberals did to the state fabric, tearing it in two, has taken a long time to heal. It really has. It truly has. And that is having an impact. But I'll tell you right now, and as I told you, I interviewed Governor Mike Pence of Indiana. You'll hear that interview. We'll have portions of it in our news tomorrow here in Green Bay. Actually, our newsroom should share that with the other newsrooms in Sheboygan and Wausau, and then you can hear it too. But I will be playing that tomorrow afternoon in the special show that I'm doing here from Milwaukee. You know, Mike Pence said, look, this reform movement, the upper Midwest is leading. His predecessor, Mitch Daniels, him, John Kasich in Ohio, Scott Walker here in Wisconsin, Rick Snyder in Michigan. Snyder, because of the blight that is Detroit right now, Snyder is not getting the credit that he deserves. But the things that reformist conservative governors are doing, and not just in the upper Midwest, Bobby Jindal, and yes, to a degree, even Chris Christie. Look, I have my problems with Chris Christie, and I could name a host of others. One of the things you'll want to be listening for in that Pence interview tomorrow is, okay, so who's the most qualified of the reformist governors to be president? Pence doesn't want to say he's running for president. He's talking just like Scott Walker. Well, I'm focusing on Indiana. Pence, of course, years in Congress, so he's got a foot in both worlds. I am still unclear how badly Scott Walker wants to run for president. I think he's considering it. But all of those things, including these tinfoil hat folks that risk hijacking the message, need to be set aside for what's really going on in Wisconsin. I mentioned earlier, Kim Strassel has a piece in today's Wall Street Journal on this at the national level in terms of not the tinfoil hat, but groups, national groups that have become identified as the Tea Party movement. And this is very, very good, and I want to share it with you. Republican primary season is in full swing, and lucky for many prominent conservative groups, politics doesn't track batting average. They'd be hard-pressed to hit the Mendoza line. The Senate Conservatives Fund, Freedom Works, the Madison Project, the Club for Growth, let me stop there. That is the National Club for Growth, not the Wisconsin Club for Growth. And some Tea Party groups roared into this primary season determined to claim more GOP scalps. The roar has faded to a whimper in every race involving a Senate Republican incumbent. The outsider candidate is lagging, if not holding a 20-point deficit. The challengers aren't bombing because of a lack of money or the establishment, but mainly because of some mind-boggling embarrassments. Dr. Milton Wolf, challenging Pat Roberts in Kansas, was discovered to have a penchant for posting gruesome X-ray images of dead people on Facebook. Whoops. Kentucky's Matt Bevin, challenging Mitch McConnell, has been forced to explain his changed position on 2008 government bank bailout, and more recently his presence at a cockfighting rally. Chris McDaniel, a lawyer and state legislator challenging Mississippi's Thad Cochran, spent April dealing with past comments as a radio host, including derogatory references to Mexico and Mamacita. He's also fielding awkward questions about his past plaintiff's work, including his request that a judge blow up Mississippi's tort reform. These episodes have turned off the very people these outside groups claim to represent, the grassroots. Many Republican voters, even those desperate for a party shakeup, simply aren't comfortable supporting a doctor who publicly mocks gunshot victims. They expect and deserve something more serious. That's to their credit, and it's tempting to therefore write off all of this as proof the system works. Bad candidates lose, no harm done. Only that ignores the harm done. Consider the waste at a time when the conservative movement can ill afford to squander resources. There's no disgrace in backing a sound and serious candidate who can't quite carry it over the finish line. That's honest primary competition. By contrast, it is political malpractice to throw tens of thousands of donors' dollars at a candidate whose Facebook posts or past radio shows no one bothered to check. It's called vetting. The best insurgent candidates are those who demonstrate an ability to raise money and attract voters. Think Ron Johnson, Marco Rubio, Pat Toomey, Deb Fischer. Even before the endorsements of outside groups, one of the Club for Growth's best Senate prospects this year is Arkansas's Tom Cotton, challenging Senator Mark Pryor, who has spent 2 years in the House. By contrast, most of the current incumbent challengers were created by outside groups. Let me stop there because she reaches the heart of the problem here. It's one thing for a credible run to the right of a primary challenger, run to the right of an incumbent primary challenger, to step forward and then have these national groups decide, hey, that's someone who really can help disgruntled conservatives. That's someone who speaks to disgruntled conservatives versus candidates being the creation of these groups. They'd ordinarily never have a showing, and for good reason. There's also the damage to the movement. And listen carefully now to this paragraph, because this dovetails into what I was talking about moments ago about Wisconsin. There is also damage to the movement. The press is churning out stories about how the Tea Party is fading fast. That's terrifically unfair to the grassroots, which hasn't been given candidates worth rallying around. That's what's happening. These unvetted, subpar candidates fade, and they represent the entire Tea Party movement, just like the fringe element I've spoke of in Wisconsin. Primaries matter, and conservatives have legitimate grievances with some incumbents. They've been cheated this time because too many of the D.C. insiders running these groups have been more interested in settling grudges against Mitch McConnell than in doing their homework. One casualty may be policy votes in Congress. Many national Republicans have been voting better in recent years, partly for fear of a primary. Should they bother anymore, seeing the caliber of likely opponents? Let me expound on that a little bit. What she's saying is, even if quality to the right of incumbent candidates lose, the threat has pulled establishment Republicans to the right. She's right about that. That's not going to happen if you put up people who are jokes. All right, back to Strassel. There's also damage to the Republican hopes of retaking the Senate. While most of these outsiders will lose, they've bloodied incumbents. And if they win, one of the closest races in Mississippi is where Mr. McDaniel, despite his press problems, continues to dog Senator Cochran, who has years of overspending to answer for. Note that the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee hasn't said boo about the McDaniel radio comments. Why? He'll be easier to beat when my computer just jumped on me. He'll be easier to beat than the incumbent, and Democrats would have plenty by the way of the race card, Mamacita, to play in a general election. This is absolutely true. Conservatives might ask if this is evidence of a failed business model. Prior to a few elections ago, the holding of conservatives to standards was a job primarily done, and done well, by groups with specific expertise. The National Rifle Association, National Right to Life Committee, Americans for Tax Reform. These organizations spend decades building their political credibility by cultivating the grassroots and then by clearly and fairly delineating what is expected of politicians. Sign the anti-tax pledge. Don't vote for assault weapons bans. Don't support federal financing of abortions. This is very different from groups that name the real conservative in each race. What are the criteria? Who knows? Given various endorsements of tort reform busters and bailout supporters and tax hikers, even they can't agree. In the Nebraska primary, FreedomWorks initially backed former state treasurer Shane Osborne, claiming he was the clear conservative. This was awkward, since the Senate Conservative Fund and the Club for Growth declared former Bush official Ben Sasse the clear conservative. And so in March, astonishingly, FreedomWorks abandoned its clear conservative for the other clear conservative. After all, we can't have the arbiters of conservatism arbitrating with each other. What she's saying here is they're just doing a sloppy job. They anoint someone without thinking it through. Every conservative should want a competitive primary system. It's healthy. And when it works, it improves Washington. And so every conservative should now be asking why this time that really didn't happen. And the part I want to reiterate is the damage this does to the movement, the damage this does to the grassroots Tea Party movement that has sprung up to the right of establishment Republicans. And you have groups who, quite frankly, are very concerned about fundraising and less concerned about fielding quality candidates. But I think the point to remember here is these groups would be better served when a legitimate candidate to the right of an incumbent organically services and then support them rather than trying to prefabricate them. All right, we'll get on to some other things that are still at least tangentially related to the convention going on here in Milwaukee, including an absolutely excellent observation about Mary Burke and Wendy Davis, two female candidates for governor of Wisconsin and Texas, respectively. We'll get to that in five. It's 10:21.
The Jerry Bader Show.